This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
I have come to Krakow to state the intentions of my country. The United States is committed to a strong Atlantic alliance to ensure our security, to advance human freedom, and to keep peace in the world.
President Bush speaking this morning in Krakow, Poland, at the start of a week-long trip. NPR senior news analyst Dan Schur joins us. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott. You know, it's a week of summit meetings all over, and as Gershwin might say, summit time and the living is easy.
How convenient George Gershwin isn't here to contradict you, but still. Krakow, as we noticed, the first of six stops. Russia, France, Egypt, Jordan, and Qatar before heading home on Thursday. Let's try and take this one stop at a time.
Yeah.
Poland. Is there a point to beginning the trip there?
Well, yeah, I think because Poland exemplifies what the Bush administration calls the new Europe, the Europe that supports America in peace and war. You know, Poland has offered to contribute, I think, 1,500 to 2,000 troops and take command of one of the peacekeeping sectors in Iraq, which will release some American troops who maybe will be able to go home. American troops who are being sort of knocked off in ambushes at about the rate of about one a day. Poland is called by Ambassador Chris Hill a very special ally. Well, so much for the old special allies, France and Germany.
Well, let's talk about Russia, because the president's going to proceed to St. Petersburg and meet a special pal, a man he really liked, Russian President Vladimir Putin. President Bush has shown Mr. Putin Crawford, Texas. Mr. Putin is going to show him St. Petersburg, where he was vice mayor less than 10 years ago. Have they put their differences over Iraq behind them?
Well, in his Krakow speech, the president put a lot of emphasis on moving on from grudges over the Iraq war and continuing on and trying to do things because we have a war against terrorism to fight. But there have been a couple of new issues that have arisen between Russia and the United States. Russia refuses to cancel its aid to Iran's nuclear program, which the Russians insist is peaceful. The United States believes it is not. There's some differences about how to deal with the nuclear program in North Korea. Russia is kind of in an ambiguous position of wanting and needing to get along with the United States while also wanting and needing to appear to be standing up to the United States.
Well, in line with every nation's specific concerns, I haven't had a chance to ask you about the quote that's being credited to Condoleezza Rice, and not to my knowledge contradicted. I appeared, I guess, in the Washington Post. Quote, punish France, isolate Germany, forgive Russia.
Yeah, I saw that quote. I'll tell you, if Condoleezza Rice didn't say that, she certainly thought it.
Well, are these rounds of meetings a step to go beyond that or to evince that?
No. I mean, it reflects the varying degrees with which the United States is angry at countries that didn't support us. And that France especially figures, you know, on the American list of countries which we don't like anymore, appears to be true. That Russia will be forgiven appears also to be true. I mean, it's a great line.
Which notes that the president then heads to the summit of the Group of Eight world powers being held in France, Evian, France.
Right.
Do you remember when summit meetings with the Russians were tense, but pro forma with the French? Is it the other way around now?
Yeah, I think that's right. This is the first meeting that the president's having with both President Chirac and Chancellor Schroeder since the Iraq war. Everybody's promising to be civil to each other, if not cordial to each other, in the interest of the common war against terrorism. But yeah, tensions do remain. You pick up a copy of a French newspaper, Le Monde, Figaro, and so on. The French are continuing to question whether there ever were weapons of mass destruction that Paul Wolfowitz, our deputy defense secretary, says was the consensus reason in the Bush administration for doing the invasion in the first place. There is that concern about American hegemony that goes very deep in the old Europe, and something has happened, and that is it is a good way of getting votes in an election. And Putin is coming up to an election sometime at the end of this year, and the other countries find that being anti-American works politically, so why not?
Mm-hmm. Then the president continues on to Egypt, a place where American power is making an attempt to be applied in the diplomatic process. He'll meet with President Hosni Mubarak and other leaders in Sharm el-Sheikh. Why meet in Egypt with those leaders first before going on to the principal meeting between the Israeli and Palestinian leaders?
Oh, that's sort of consolidate support for the president's roadmap plan, his initiative for the Middle East, by rallying, getting everybody to rally around the Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas, and also some talk about cracking down more firmly on money that finds its way from Arab states to Al-Qaeda. In advance interviews with Arab TV, the president made a big point of stressing how committed he is to this peace initiative and how he wants to work with Arab states on it.
Which, of course, brings us to the next point in the itinerary, Aqaba, Jordan. Jordan's King Abdullah will be there, and the president will meet with Israeli Prime Minister Sharon and of course, the new Palestinian prime minister. This is the first high-stakes summit meeting for Mr. Bush, where his personal prestige, now enhanced by these two military campaigns.
Interesting. I look at the itinerary the White House put out of this, and the interesting thing is that in the itinerary, it shows President Bush meeting separately with Sharon and Abbas. Mm-hmm. I simply imagine that the meetings go well. It'll end up as a meeting of the three, or at least a photo op of the three. The two, Abbas and Sharon, have had two meetings now, which apparently have gone pretty well. Sharon promises to ease restrictions on the Palestinians, but clearly if the initiative is to get very far, the president will have to stick with it and keep the pressure on, not just for a day and not just for just a week. And it's interesting that in his interviews with Arab television before leaving, the president put great stress that he's very serious, he's going to stick with this.
President's last stop will be in Qatar. He'll meet with General Tommy Franks and Paul Bremer before speaking to U.S. troops there. Three U.S. soldiers died today. This morning it was in a traffic accident. More than 10 have died this week. And Lieutenant General David McKiernan says the war has not ended. These contacts we're having right now are in a combat zone, and it is war. He says that Saddam loyalists are striking back.
Yes, and General McKiernan says they may have to send more troops into combat operations against the loyalists to Saddam Hussein, who apparently are still there. Maybe President Bush was just a little premature in his victory declaration on the deck of the USS Abraham Lincoln. It is becoming clear that there was a profound misassessment of how liberating troops would be greeted and how easy it would be. Cakewalk it ain't.
We want to turn to domestic news this week. The president signed Congress's $350 billion tax cut on Wednesday. That's less than half the size of the original proposal. Still inspired wide Democratic opposition. The president has emphasized the tax cut's benefits for families. Warren Buffett, the billionaire, made a point this week. He said, I would receive $310 million in additional income and see my tax rate plunge to 3%. What else have you noticed about this bill?
Well, something else is that, and that is a fact at last minute, to keep the ceiling of $350 billion over 10 years, which the Senate said it had to do, the conferees decided to cut another few billion from where? Eliminated about 12 million low-wage families from the $400 increase in the child tax credit.
Of course, the argument of this fund, the logic, of course, is that the tax cut is going to create more investment income, which can ultimately redound to the benefit of families, of all families, by creating jobs.
But meanwhile, there are this number of children, of families, who are low-wage earners but working people, and they're told they can't get the $400 increase. It's kind of strange when Warren Buffett gets millions and millions and millions.
Okay. Thanks very much, Dan Shore.